I think something we've noticed is when one of us takes responsibility, it's easy for the other person too. And then it's so easy to get to transformation and resolution.
You know, at the end of the day, that is the goal of relationships. You know, they're meant to get messy. You know, my brain used to go like, oh my God, this is just retarded. Why are you even doing this? Right? Or whatever. And like, if it was supposed to be, then it wouldn't be this way. And I'm like, no, actually, it's the exact opposite. This actually means it's meant to be, because if we can get in blowouts like that and still choose to come to each other and say sorry and lick our wounds together, that's a really good sign. Because if you can go through that amount of discomfort and still want to be with that person, now you know for sure.
We're truly each other's best friends. Like Ryan is the best friend I've ever had. We call each other out. We call each other forward. We've just grown immensely. We have found secure attachment styles together immensely.
It takes pressure to make diamonds. And so I think a big process of understanding how to be in a conscious relationship is that when challenges arise, not if, but when, how are we going to handle them? And how can we make sure that we're making diamonds with our pressure and cooking rice or pasta with our boiling water and not just throwing it around and burning ourselves and other people and the dog and whoever else? I would not be where I am today 100% without Rachel. And she has been my number one source of positivity, inspiration, and really courage to go do these things. And she still is, you know, and I do the same thing for her as well. This conscious partnership, sacred union thing is really about two human beings loving each other enough to not only trigger each other into enlightenment, but also realize oneness between the two. It takes pressure to have those diamonds be made. And I know in our relationship, we have provided that pressure for one another to allow the true diamonds within us to come out.
We tend to match each other's wounds, like we're puzzle pieces for wounds. I've also found me and Ryan are puzzle pieces for our gifts.
My advice is just keep going.
Welcome home to the Loving Consciously podcast.
My name is Amaris.
And my name is Eric.
And if you are like us, nobody taught you how to love. We are best friends and life partners here to vulnerably and authentically share our journey while exploring the sacred realms of love, consciousness, relationships, spirituality, and all that they encompass.
The intention of this show is to help you consciously relate to yourself, others, and everything else in this universe. Together, we can embody a more intentional and fulfilling way of giving and receiving love.
Loving consciously. Through 8 years together, we have had the opportunity to overcome deep patterning and programming, as well as trauma related to mental health, addiction, pregnancy loss, infidelity, abuse, and immense grief. After 6 years of experiencing these challenges with no knowledge on how to heal or love each other, we separated.
After us both spiritually awakening and recommitting, we formed our conscious partnership and have spent the last 2 years cultivating a divine union founded on unconditional love, devotion, and commitment to personal growth.
Thank you for joining us and doing the work alongside us as we explore this beautiful world of love and consciousness to co-create a new world of love.
As you courageously walk this path, remember to have grace with yourself and know that you have both the capacity to love consciously and the power to always choose love.
Namaste and welcome back to the Loving Consciously podcast. We could not be more excited to be here today with two of our favorite people who have both been on the show before, but they are here together as a couple, and we are launching a new series called Loving Conversations. And the vision and the mission of this series is to bring on other conscious couples and to talk about their love story, talk about how they handle conflict, talk about the benefits of being in a conscious partnership, and really just show another side, because we talk about our conscious partnership all the time. It's always nice to get other perspectives. And so I am absolutely honored to welcome back to the show Ryan Sprague and Rachel Veritimos, who, like I said, have both been here before. Ryan was here to talk about conscious cannabis, and Rachel was here to talk about astrology. So definitely check out their solo episodes. But Ryan and Rachel, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much, guys. We are so excited to be here.
Yes, thank you for having us. As you were talking, I was watching Ryan's face and it looked so cute. He has this like certain face he puts on when he's doing all cute lovey things, which I think is one of our secret sauces to having a good relationship. So I just wanted to name that.
You know,
I love
it's
it.
Funny you mentioned that, Ray, too. When I was looking at you and I saw you smiling, so I was smiling more, but I was like, I don't know if she's really looking at me. So that's like one of our funny little things. I guess we were intuiting or telepathically communicating that. So
I love it. And we'll definitely get into that in the end of this, as telepathic communication and some of the ways that you really dive in spiritually and energetically when you're consciously relating with someone for an extended amount of time. I want to start with y'all's love story. I want to give the space to y'all to tell your story, how you met, and really honing in on, were you both conscious when you met? When did you kind of start your conscious partnership? Like, what brought you here today?
Babe, you want to go first?
Sure.
I can go first if you want me to, but I usually talk over everything, so I'm letting you go first.
I'll go. So were we conscious when we first met each other? I think we were semi-conscious, but not nearly as conscious as we are now. When I first met Ryan, we met at a dispensary. I had went in for an interview to get hired at the dispensary. And what led me to going in for that interview was I was working for my dad and I was so miserable. And I was on the side growing cannabis plants and just like obsessing over cannabis. And none of my friends likes cannabis. And so I was just obsessed by myself. And then one day I was just like, I want people who like cannabis. And so I applied to a bunch of cannabis dispensaries, and the one closest to me just happened to be opening up their doors for hiring since they opened. Most dispensaries weren't hiring. And they got back to me right away and they were like, hey, it's so weird. You messaged us. We're hiring. Like, can you come in for an interview on whatever day? And I was like, oh my God, this is the one closest to me. And so I go in for the interview. And the guy is late, our supervisor, Seth, he was late for the interview. So I just decided to sit in the dispensary and I was bored and I went up to the counter and who was there? It was Ryan. So he's the first person I met when I got to the dispensary and I bought Black Widow terpenes from him. And we had a conversation and I showed him my grow. And like at the time I was growing hydroponically, I like slowly graduated into growing organically, but I showed him my whole like hydroponic setup and how my dad helped me build it and this and that. And we just like were nerding out. And I had a boyfriend at the time though that I had been dating for like 3 years. So long story short, we start working together. Over the course of 3 months, I recognized that me and him have a lot in common. Like, we're both cannabis growers. We love cannabis, but he's also really into water, like good water and clean food and working out and all like the self-development stuff. And none of my friends were into that stuff either. Like, all my friends made fun of me for my water obsession and how picky I was with the food I ate. So when I met Ryan, I remember I went home from work one day and I said to my parents, wow, I feel like this kid could be my best friend because I had a boyfriend. And I was like, he's so much like me. It's crazy. Fast forward like another month, Ryan's going on dates. I'm helping him go on dates. I'm kind of being his wingwoman. And I start to recognize that I have a huge crush on this man. And like a huge crush. I remember he was talking about going on a date with this girl. And I just had this feeling in my body, like, I have to do something about this. And me and my boyfriend that I had been dating for 3 years, we had broken up a couple times. It was kind of one of those relationships that we had just like stayed in, I think, out of safety. So I was driving home one day and I just got this feeling in my body, like, you have to turn around and you have to break up with your boyfriend because you need to lock Ryan down. And so I literally had this force that turned me around. I got off the highway. I went onto another highway. I drove to my boyfriend's house. I broke up with him. And the next day I went to Ryan and I said, hey, I broke up with my boyfriend. And he had no clue, like absolutely no clue that I liked him. So I asked him, hey, do you want to do mushrooms with me this weekend for the first time? Because he always talked about doing mushrooms and I had never done mushrooms. And he said yes, and he almost canceled on me. And I had to pull out the big guns and I had to do some sexy flirty texts. And I swear, like when we did mushrooms, I saw a DNA double helix like intertwine and I was one side of the DNA and he was the other side. And it felt like our souls had been intertwined throughout history, through space and time. And I'll never forget that vision. We've been together 7 years and I still remember that vision. And I remember thinking like there's something about this relationship. And now 7 years later, like, look at where we are. I will say we are completely different people than we were 7 years ago. I'm sure we'll get more into that. We are way more conscious now in so many ways. There's so many hurdles we had to go through, but I'll throw it off to Ryan to answer his side.
Yeah. Beautiful depiction, babe. Very accurate. And I'm going to throw in some funny things from my angle. In 2017, I had a pattern of dating some she-devils, you know, touching some hot stoves and things like that. All divine, right? All meant to happen. You know, I had just recently gotten cheated on and left that relationship and, you know, was feeling kind of victim-y at that point in my life for sure. I wasn't nearly as conscious or empowered as I am now. And so I kind of just, you know, was doing my thing, flirting with, you know, women that would come in, but I was very low in confidence at that point. You know, I didn't have the most self-esteem. And so it was funny because, you know, at one point at the dispensary, it was all men working the front counter. And so we asked our manager, Seth, we were like, dude, can you get some women in here, man? Like, it's kind of awkward. Like, you know, all of us are men up here. It just kind of feels weird. And he was like, sure. You know, like, we're going to be hiring some people soon. Because when we first opened, we were a very like family run dispensary. So we didn't have any corporate money and things like that. So we were all thugging it out for a while on a very low staff. Short-staffed staff, essentially. I was the only one there that wasn't short, so I guess we weren't short-staffed, but guilty as charged. But so basically what happened was all of a sudden one day, it's like pretty dead in the dispensary, which was pretty rare at that point because there was only 7 dispensaries open in the entire state. So usually we were pretty slammed. But on this, you know, certain moment in time, Rachel walks in and being a guy, I immediately notice. I'm like, okay, that's different. I'm awake now. Thanks for the testosterone. So she goes in for her interview, or rather beforehand, like she was saying, Seth was late. So, you know, she's kind of like looking at the board and I just make the move. I'm like, hey, you can come right over to me. Right. So, you know, very nonchalant, very easygoing. So she comes over and like she had been saying, we just started nerding out. And I was like, holy shit. Like, who is you? Who are you? And what is your dad? And what does he do? Because all of a sudden she's like, yeah, he's building me these Sluckett systems and he's an engineer. And I'm like, holy shit, I have met my match, you know? And again, like I'm a huge fan of organic cultivation, but when it comes to hydroponic, it is beautiful. You know, it's a very intricate system and there's a lot of things that have to go right for that thing to work. And so anyone growing hydroponically, I'm immediately interested in, you know, I want to hear how they got into it and things like that. We start talking and very similar to what Rachel said, I just start realizing like, damn, this girl's into everything I'm into. But, you know, again, she gets hired on the spot. I remember she went in for an interview, came out. She was like, I got hired, right? In their adorable voice. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh, cool. That's awesome. And in my head, I'm like, yes, you know. Then she comes to work and I find out she's got a boyfriend. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not a homewrecker, you know, yada, yada. But here's this beautiful girl that, you know, I'm forming a relationship with. And there are these women that come in and I'm like, are they flirting with me? Are they not? So I would ask her, I'm like, do you think I have a chance with that girl? Like, was she flirting with me? And, you know, she would give me some really sound advice and things like that. So again, I am oblivious, right, to what's going on here. I don't catch the idea that she's getting this crush on me over time. And meanwhile, like, you know, just to state it out in the open, she was coming to the dispensary dressed to the fucking nines. Like, I mean, it was very hard to concentrate there, right? So I definitely had noticed. And you know, again, like every guy coming in would notice because not only is she extremely attractive and beautiful and amazing, but she's also got like the best personality. She's bubbly. She's fun. She's exciting. All these things, right? Just full package. So I'm noticing all this, you know, we're having some really cool conversations, but again, completely oblivious. So I remember one day she comes in and I had just asked her like, yeah, you know, I'm going to go on a date with this girl. Or maybe I had it planned already or whatever. Didn't know that I was like, you know, creating this catalyzation within her to go break up with her boyfriend. So I remember she comes in one day and she's like, hey, I broke up with my boyfriend. And I'm just like, oh, good for you. That's awesome. And I just keep on walking. Completely missed it, right? So I think what had happened was you had asked Ryan Reed, like, what will get this guy's attention? And he was like, ask him to do mushrooms, right? Because at that point I was the mushroom.
I don't think
like,
I asked him that. Where did you get that?
I don't know. I thought like, I
no, this
that,
was my own
know?
Plan. I have a gotcha. I plan.
Yeah. We hit it dead on, right? So anyway, she basically hits me up and she's like, hey, do you want to do mushrooms alone? And so then I go to my buddy Ryan, who is my confidant, my guy confidant. And I was like, hey, dude, do you think? And he was like, dude, you're an idiot if you don't think that, right? Like, obviously she's making a move on you. So I got pretty nervous. That's what she was talking about. Like, you know, I tried to cancel the day of, like, I was still falling into a lot of these things of like, why me? You know, like, how would she ever find something she liked in me? Things like that. But as God would have it, we end up hanging out. And what she didn't include was that I had had a hellish experience with mushrooms about 3-4 months prior. I had done like an 18-gram tea with two of my friends at Penis Envy, and we didn't know about Penis Envy at that point, and we had got fucking rocked. Like, I mean, to the point where it had traumatized me. What happened was I took the mushrooms just like any other experience. It was my first tea ever, and I didn't understand the whole idea of what was going to happen there. And the most I had ever done was like 3.5 grams. So I just figured, I'm like, well, you know, it's like twice that, you know, what's the worst that could happen, right? Because at that point, I still said it that way. I didn't say what's the best that could happen, which is one of the big shifts that overall happened. But anyway, I ended up thinking that I had eaten mold. My throat was closing up. I was having an allergic reaction and I was going to die. So that had happened like 4 months prior. So I had like been off of mushrooms ever since, like maybe like a microdose here and there. So then this girl's like, hey, I want to do mushrooms. And so, of course, I'm like, all right, Ryan, this may be a little traumatizing again, but you're going to thug it out for this, dude, because it's worth it. So we end up eating a gram, and it was very nice, very light, very chill. And at a certain point, I remember you were sitting in that black chair, sitting all cute. And she was like, I think I want to do more. And I was like, okay, like, yeah, I'll make that happen because I was having a good time. So I go into my collection, and the only mushrooms I have left are the same ones I had the hellish experience with. So I remember being in my closet and being like, all right, here we go. And so those start hitting. And then I start feeling some of that anxiety come up. I start feeling like a little bit of the shortness of breath. And so I try to play it off super cool, right? I'm like, yeah, you know, sometimes at this part of the experience, I just like to lay in my bed at Shavasana pose. And so Rachel's like, okay. So she hops in my bed with me and we're sitting there. And I'm just like, dude, this is really hard. At least I know I'm not going to fall over now and pass out on this girl. But I'm still like trying to form words, and words are hard. And all of a sudden she just kind of read me and she was like, do you want to cuddle? And I was like, yes. And then the second she like embraced me, ultimate safety, like complete just transcendence of any of that anxiety. And, you know, it was so funny because we roll around all night making out to Tycho and just having a beautiful night. And in the morning, she had work. So basically, you know, her and I had spawned this little thing of like, ooh, it'll be fun to keep this secret. It'll be fun, right? So like literally she leaves my house. I wake up at like 9 a.m. I check my phone and immediately it's our, I don't think he was our manager at that point, but this kid, Zach, that worked with us. And the text I get is, Ryan, you dog you. Apparently what had happened was Rachel went into work a little bit disheveled and people were like, oh, what were you doing last night? She's like, I was up all night doing mushrooms at Ryan. And they put it together. And so that's really how we met. I'll stop there. I could go into a lot more, but that was our love story and how it got originally initiated. Well,
you can add the Seth Yaffe makeout sesh thing.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty funny. Okay. So I will add this thing because it is pretty funny. So our thing was we both worked the front counter at that point. So we'd always like work next to each other. And, you know, I'd watch all these guys come in and be like, dude, the girl's so hot. And I'm like, oh, really? You think so? You know, and just keep it a secret. And it was super fun for me. So what happened would be, I'd be like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. And then Rachel would be like, yeah, me too. And then we'd go back to the lockers and we'd just viciously make out, you know, and just have that like someone might catch us type feeling. Well, one day someone did catch us. So we're like making out and our manager, Seth, walks through the door, right? And it was just like, we separate, right? And he's like, hey guys, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, nothing. How's your day going? He's like, great. And just walks through, clearly saw what was happening. Never got brought up ever. Like, I remember me and you, Ray, after we're like, we were like silent, like, oh God, that's going to be bad. We might get fired. And then like nothing happened. Like literally it was so awesome. And shout out to Seth, if you ever listen to this man, he was the best manager ever. I could ask him if I wanted to. Yeah. When we started going to shows together, it was just like, hey, can I leave early? He's like, sure, whatever. You know? So yeah, I'm glad you brought that pot up, Bray.
You'll have to send it to him for sure. Yeah. You know, as you both were talking, which that was like such a you two story. Like y'all are so goofy. It totally resonated with y'all's energy. I cried when both of you were talking. And, you know, I think the thing about conscious partnership especially is like it just hits different, right? Like there's just this deep soul connection. There has to be, right? Because like why else would you do this treacherous work and this get this treacherous beauty, you know, this incredible beauty if you didn't have that deep soul connection? What I didn't realize, though, is how similar our stories were. Like, we started as best friends. I also was dating someone. I also, Rachel, had that. I drove to my boyfriend's house. I broke up with my boyfriend, who we're great friends with now. Like, all these years later, we're both friends with him. I had interviewed him on my solo podcast, but I broke up with him. And, like, literally that night at midnight, we made it official. And so, you know, we started as friends, and same thing, had that pull. What really struck me was your story about mushrooms and the the soul merging, right? Like, and I want listeners to know, especially as we get into some of these things, like words are very difficult when you start to describe conscious relating and spiritual experiences with like another person and a partner. Like they get pretty wild. And so we'll do our best with the words. So y'all have been together 7 years. We've been together 8 years. And as you know, and as we've shared on the show, we spent six of those deeply unconscious. So we have a really unique story in that we went through 6 years of unconsciousness, woke up, and then have done our consciousness journey together. And it started on the night that we first connected with LSD. I was having really intense grief with my dad. Ryan, I know you relate to that. You shared that in your episode. We had this experience where we were connecting physically and then we both like astral projected. And so we were like connecting on multiple planes, like physically, spiritually, energetically. And it was the same thing, like this merging. And I just knew in that moment, like, this person is a part of me. Like it doesn't even feel like two people anymore. And so I love so much that that's in your story.
It's so beautiful to see both of your perspectives on the same story. Each of us bear these unique experiences based off of our past history, our traumas, our experiences with the relationships. I resonate a lot with you, Ryan, in that when we got together, there was a lot of that, you know, how could this person like me, you know, and it was just this deep wound of self-love. And this person really brought me out of my shell. And it's such a beautiful testament to what conscious partnership can do, because when you merge your souls together, you start to kind of fill the puzzle pieces that are missing in a way that most other relationships don't. Because in the areas that we are seeking growth during this incarnation, that person will pull you forward to step into that growth, whether it's through triggering events, whether it's through love and safety and connection, it's usually both. And I love to see that experience for you two. And even just the way that you talk about each other and communicate, you can tell that there's this deep-rooted and meaningful connection and bond that you two share. Because as you relate consciously, whether you start on the consciousness journey together or if you figure it out somewhere along your journey, you begin to start becoming one person. And it's a really interesting experience because you start to experience oneness together and that you start shedding that individuality. And I would love to hear, now that we understand how you two met, what was it like for you as you started growing together, as you started merging? What did that process look like for you?
It's been such a long process and so many layers that it's a little complicated to explain, but I can say that the first 3 or 4 years of our relationship, I can speak from my perspective, I really deeply lacked self-love and I had deep abandonment wounds. So there was this like repeating of a pattern I had done in previous relationships, but it was different because in previous relationships, like I wasn't afraid of losing those people, but Ryan, because of how much I loved him and it was like a connection unlike any other, kind of like how you were describing, like it's just this different type of connection. And even you said this, it's just on a different level. Like you just merge with each other. And so because it was such a deep connection, I was actually afraid to lose him. And I wasn't as afraid to lose my previous relationships. And I think I did that consciously. Like I would unconsciously, consciously get with guys that I wasn't afraid to lose, that I had a leg up on. And so when I met Ryan, he was quote unquote dangerous, not because he's a dangerous person. He's the nicest person in the world, the most trustworthy person in the world, but dangerous to me because if I lost him, that would be life shattering. It would literally be like someone took a part of me. So I get what you mean by it's like you merge into one, especially when your souls are that connected. And like, so because what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say it's like dangerous to the ego, right? Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dangerous mm-hmm. to the ego. Perfect way to put it. And so I would say the first 3 or 4 years of our relationship, I was controlling. I had major abandonment wounds. I like just lacked so much self-love that it was easy to get mad at him and blame him for things and project onto him and limit his freedom. I think that was one of the biggest things, is I really limited Ryan's freedom. Ryan is such a free soul, and the thing I love most about him is how friendly and free he is. Like, everyone loves Ryan. I don't think I've met one person who doesn't love Ryan. Even before we started dating, I always called him my mini celebrity. Like, since the beginning of our relationship, I call him my mini celebrity, which I now think he's a mini celebrity. So I tell him I manifested that for him. But
thanks, babe.
He's all right. He's all right.
But yeah, so like, we'd be at parties and he'd be social talking to everyone, and I would get mad at him because I would look at these other couples who were like hanging on each other all night and like connecting with each other. And I made it mean something about me. I made it mean that I wasn't good enough and that he would leave me and that he's just going to meet someone else. And like, yeah, like, he's at a party, everyone else is better than me. And then I would get mad at him and be like, you have to say hi to me and you have to check in with me at parties. And that happened a lot over the course of the first 3 or 4 years of our relationship, until one time we took Molly at a party. The next day we were on the come down, and I remember we were sitting in a car at a CVS parking lot. So we're in the car and we're feeling the depths of our feeling. Cause on a come downs from Molly, you just feel like the depths of every depth you've ever felt, like the horrible depths. And I was like, you didn't say hi to me at the party, like blah, blah, blah. Like, I just wish you could freaking say hi to me. And then he said to me that I limit his freedom and he doesn't feel free and he doesn't know what to do because he needs his freedom. And I'm trying to take it away from him. And it was in that moment, it was felt like a punch to the gut. It was so painful to hear. But it was in that moment that I had this like flash memory of every friend or every quote unquote boyfriend I felt had abandoned me. It was mainly related to friends, because that's where a lot of my abandonment wounds was with friends. But I thought of every friend who had ever quote unquote abandoned me and what the process took for them to abandon me. And in that moment, I realized it was because I tried to limit their freedom. I was like, oh, well, if you're my best friend, you would hang out with me. And I would be like, if you're my best friend, you would do this. And I would try to like squash and control them. And I realized in this moment when he said I was limiting his freedom, that I was doing the same thing to him. And then it was in that moment that I realized, oh my God, Rachel, it's not that you're a person that people just abandon. It's that you push them to abandon you by trying to squash their freedom because you think that there's something wrong with you and they're going to abandon you, and you're manifesting the very thing you don't want. And all you have to do is give Ryan his freedom. That's all you have to do. Then you become someone he wants to stay with. You don't push him away.
He would probably come give you more attention, right? Because he doesn't feel restricted. And it's the conundrum.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, logically, I think we can understand that. But because I was in the depths of that feeling, that realization felt like someone was stabbing me multiple times in the gut. And I just like remember crying and feeling horrible. And then I made a pact. I will never squash that man's freedom again. He can live his life and I know he loves me. And the more I give him his freedom, the more solid I feel. And literally, that was after year four. Now we're on year seven. Things have completely shifted. Ryan, it's exactly what you said, Amaris. He wants to spend all the time in the world with me, to the point where like, I want to listen and learn my like astrology. And he's like, you're the only person in the world who doesn't want to talk to me. Everyone else wants to talk to me. And he's like trying to get my attention.
Oh, how the roles have changed. You helped her heal that pattern. And now she's offering you the ability to heal that pattern for you. And that is a deep part of conscious partnership, right? We think our partner has the pattern, and then when they heal it, it shows, that same healing work, right? Balance.
Definitely. Well, I mean,
yeah.
If you spot it, you got it, you know? Just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's all just a projection and a reflection anyways, which definitely is a huge piece in conscious partnership for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also Ryan, I will give Ryan credit. He's really good at like catching himself too, and then going back and, you know, taking his power back and giving me the power back. So I'll just stop with that story because there's 1,000 stories we can tell, and I'll pull it over to Ryan to tell any of his stories of what it's looked like.
First of all, Ray, great story that you shared there, and it's been many things, you know, and I think the biggest thing, I don't think I've ever shared this live before, so we'll dive right in. Many of our close friends, you guys know about this. I've talked to you about it and stuff and private and whatnot, but My core wound in my life is my mother. I love her to fucking death. She's amazing. She gave me the best childhood ever, her and my dad. Picture perfect parents, the most that you can be, right? Nothing's perfect, but like I look back to my childhood and I'm like, damn, they really aced it. But one of the challenges is that my mom has a deep mistrust of men stemming from her dad. Her dad was a really amazing individual, had never tried alcohol, went to a wedding with my grandmother, had a glass of wine and was like, wow, it feels like I'm flying, and just never looked back. And so when my mom was growing up, her dad was constantly going to the hospital. You know, she'd be falling asleep being like, I wonder if my dad's going to die. And she was like literally like 6 years old, you know, going through these things. She remembers a story where her mother had just had all of her teeth pulled, right? And she was getting dentures and she had a lot of stitches in her mouth and she wasn't supposed to, like, you know, do any heavy lifting or anything. And one day her dad came home and was so drunk that he fell out of the car into a snowbank and passed out. And so my grandmother had to try to bring him inside and she split all the stitches and there was like blood everywhere and stuff. So my mom went through a lot, you know, with her father. And then she started dating guys that were basically her dad, right? Like what she learned to be safe around is guys that were assholes, basically, you know. And again, her dad was a nice guy, but just went through some shitty stuff himself and never dealt with it, et cetera, right? We all know what trauma is and how it plays out. But anyway, because of that, once my father passed away, first of all, I had a lot of anger around him for that because, you know, with my dad, you know, again, I'm not trying to paint my mom as, you know, a bad person or anything, but, you know, my mom has a lot of trauma. And so growing up, you know, when certain things would happen, I would go to my dad to, like, you know, and he'd be like, hey, don't worry about it. It's okay. You know, your mom loves you. So he was kind of that person for me. And when he passed away, you know, I didn't know any of this. I can only look back in hindsight and see it now. But not only did I not really deal with it, but I also didn't understand at that point the role that had left my life, you know, like the person that had left my life and the role that they portrayed and kind of supplied for me. So what started happening was, in a really kind of interesting way, my mom started really, like, you know, focusing on me as like the man in her life to not only take care of everything, but also to be the person that whenever anything went wrong, you're the guy now. So I'm going to now project all these things about what I know about men onto you. And because I wouldn't match that description, like I wouldn't be mean to her, I wouldn't do these things, it actually triggered her more. And so what she was trying to do was actually like bring me down to, like, so I would act like one of these guys. So she'd be like, see, that's exactly what it was. I knew that I was right, that men are bad and all these kind of things, right? So because of that, that's played a very big opportunity, right, in our relationship, you know, and Rachel and I's relationship. And one of the biggest things has been Rachel really supporting me in breaking that wound. You know, my mom is, and again, she's incredible. For anyone listening, I'm not dissing her. I just have to say it over and over. But she, you know, she's had degenerative disc disease for years. She's disabled, you know, and she's in a rough position. And so I take care of her and things like that. But again, that can be a very challenging thing to navigate, you know, because I must live my own life as well. Like I can't just literally stay around to help this person that, although her belief systems and stories say that she's fucked, there's nothing she can do, there's actually a lot she could do. But she won't listen to me about that either, right? So I grew a lot of disdain and anger around these things. And I would bottle it up with unconscious cannabis use and things like that. And then when Rachel would bring these things up, because she saw it clear as day, and Rachel's the type of person that when she sees something, especially for someone she loves, she's going to share it with them. And it would trigger the fuck out of me. It would trigger the absolute fuck out of me. Some of our biggest blowout fights were about that, you know?
Triggering each other into enlightenment.
Literally, literally. And it took me a few years anyway. I would say probably right around year four, year five even, where I really started being like, oh, I see what's happening here. Like I see the full thing. I see the fact that actually my mom is my biggest teacher and that she actually is a really advanced soul who signed up specifically to be this person who's like, no, please don't leave me, all these things. Not because that's actually who she is, but because I need to be the one that owns up and says, I love you, but I need to go live my own life. And a big part of that also is Rachel saying, like, hey, are you going to let yourself just kind of like play small because you're worried about what this person in your life will think, et cetera. Like this person loves you. They'd obviously love for you to go live your life, et cetera. Right. So a big part of, for me, how our relationship has become more conscious and what I've noticed, my own patterns, programs, and how we've kind of fused together is allowing Rachel to be that source of comfort for me, that person that I can like open up to. And it's taken me a while to really like open up to these things and admit them to myself because they're pretty scary to admit. because once you admit it, you have to look at all the patterns. But again, that's the only way. The best way out is through. The only way out is through. And so that's been a huge thing for me that I've never really discussed publicly, you know, my core Chiron wound of my mother and the great opportunity and the great wisdom she has bestowed on me with this lifetime she's chose to play out, you know, because again, like for me, I'm Mr. Holistic Health. I do all the things. Like I'm a Virgo moon, Virgo rising. So I have a lot of that like OCD, like very structured life. And for her, she won't necessarily drink water. She won't take any of the advice, right? And it took me a while, like I said, to realize like, oh, she's not meant to. She's literally meant to say no over and over. So it triggers me into going like, hey, okay, I'm not here to help everyone. I'm not here to help anyone unless they want to be helped, right? And so there's been a lot of things, but I would say that's been the number one thing, even getting, you know, me to move out of there, you know, and get the hell away from that energy, you know? And again, it's actually deepened my mother and I's relationship a shit ton in doing that. Even though, you know, again, every time I go over there and I see her, her stories, her beliefs, and her guru-ness will look to pull me back down to that level. But Rachel has done a great job of being able to really allow me to find myself in ways that I can't really describe. They're qualitative. But so when I go over there and I hear these things, I don't get mad anymore. I get compassionate. You know, I remember when I was at that level where if someone was doing something amazing, what I would do unconsciously was try to like, you know, make fun of it or something to kind of like make it seem like I wasn't not fulfilling my purpose. So I understand what that is now. And that's been a huge level up in our relationship overall.
Wow. I mean, both of you like super, super authentic, vulnerable shares of ways that you've been able to heal really core patterns, right? And I would argue, because as you're speaking, I'm like, yep, same, right? Like big mother wounds here, big yeah. self-love abandonment wounds here. But I think a lot of listeners, most listeners can relate to that, right? Like in some level, I think a lot of people have that fear of abandonment and that issue with self-love. We're certainly not taught to love ourselves, you know, unless you were really lucky and you were raised by like conscious hippie parents, which yeah. at our age isn't common. And so thank you for sharing that and showing people like this is when you stick it out. Rachel, you said something in our solo episode we did recently that literally has not stopped ringing in my mind. And it came at the perfect moment because literally a week later, our core most pattern resurfaced. You know, I had found out that Eric was back in the shadow of dishonesty. And normally I'd be like, I'm done. Like I'm out, you know, that triggers my like running wounds. And I just heard your voice and it has not stopped since of a relationship is only truly over when one person's not willing to grow, you know, mm-hmm. and the way that he faced that situation and is growing from it, like blew my mind. And it just is such a testament to the power of conscious partnership. And so I'd love to dig into that. I want to kind of talk about really kind of I don't like the duality of like positive and negative, but that's the world we lived in, right? We signed up for this dualistic world. So I'd like to first look at conflict and especially looking at your partnership now. Like we've done a really good groundwork of the first 3, 4, 5 years, but these last 2 years, especially, like what does it look like for you to be in conscious partnership? Like how does that manifest as patterns? How does that manifest as conflict? Whichever direction you want to take it. I'm really curious to hear how that looks for you.
Yeah, I feel like this is an easy one. I might have talked about it on our podcast too. And it's only easy because I almost feel like me and Ryan have a slight formula now. Like we just like understand the flow of a fight to resolution, even if it's takes us different amounts of time each time. So usually if we get triggered, we'll fight for a second. For the most part, we're really good at then taking space. So usually we get into a fight, it gets really intense to the point where we're not hearing each other. We're both coming from our wounds and we have to take space. And so when we take space, when we first started doing that, it would look like me, my nervous system not being able to handle it and me literally running out the door as Ryan screams after me, if you leave that door, don't you dare come back. You know what I'm saying? Like the, don't you dare come back. That's where we first realized it was when my avoidant self and when we used to be in that pattern, avoidant, anxious, I'd be like, I gotta go. And then like run and like take fear for a walk. And then by the time I'd come back, what we noticed is when we would take that space, we could come back in a more grounded way and actually be able to take self-responsibility for our side of the fight. And so now our processes come into, we get into a fight, we get triggered. If it gets bad enough, we'll take space or we won't talk for a little bit. Once we allow that space to settle in, we'll come back and we'll usually each self-reflect on how can I take responsibility. I think something we've noticed is when one of us takes responsibility, it's easy for the other person too. And then it's so easy to get to transformation and resolution. So I think that's our main pattern. Sometimes we don't need to take this space. Sometimes we can literally just take a second and be like, okay, I'm getting triggered at you right now because when I was younger, this happened and it's really reminding me of this. And so I'm feeling this way and I just need to talk through it with you now. I know it's not your fault. It's just me being like this. So we'll do that. And then there's also an exercise we've done that was so beautifully healing. It was by this Tantra teacher, Layla Martin, which she's pretty big. So people might know her if you're listening. So this practice was called Love, Fears, Desires. And basically we had to pick partner A and partner B, and she'd be like, what do you fear? And then partner A would talk for 5 minutes and partner B can't say shit. Partner B just has to be quiet. And at the end of partner A talking, like when the bell on the recording rings, partner B is just like, says thank you to partner A for expressing themselves. And then partner B goes on for 5 minutes and answers their biggest fear. And then partner A just listens. And then at the end says thank you. And so you go through your fears, like kind of like word vomiting your fears to each other, to word vomiting your desires. And then the last one is like word vomiting what you love or like about them. And so it takes us through this beautiful process where we have to just hear each other out, from our biggest fears to our biggest desires to then what we love about each other. And I found the act of not being able to respond when something triggered us, but just have to listen and say thank you, was also an extremely healing practice. And it's something that we've then brought into other fights we've had now. So like now I've learned to, if we're in a really bad fight and we take space and we still don't know how to resolve it, I'll go in and I'll just listen to him. So that would be my answer.
Yeah. And I'll second that, you know, again, like one of the main patterns I noticed in myself, and this is kind of the last point, but it, you know, kind of goes into this one, is another one of my biggest patterns was I learned from my mom and dad that arguing wasn't about finding resolution. It was just who can out argue the other person. And so, you know, this was something that Rachel kept mentioning and I was like, fuck off. Like, I don't have that. You know, like I'm just better at fucking arguing. I got a better point than you, you know, like full ego takeover. And so like what I started noticing was what would happen would be like, I almost liked arguing. Like there was a part of me that was like, yeah, let me fucking at him like a rabid Rottweiler, you know?
And I hate arguing. So that's why, yeah, I would leave.
Yeah. And then my ego would be like, see, you won again, bro. Just keep fucking doing it that way, you know? And it was just like toxic as fuck. So I remember when we were at the dispensary, I remember times we got in arguments where like, I am not embarrassed to look back at it, but I'm just so grateful that I evolved from that point, because I don't even remember what the fights are about, but how I reacted like was just not okay and in alignment with who I am today. Just basically like, I'm just going to stonewall and just like, you know, kind of do all those things like, yeah, it's fine. I don't care. Yeah, whatever. Those are not good signs in a relationship, right? I mean, they can be if you use them for growth, but if you keep doing that over and over, it's going to be challenging, you know, and disempowering. I would say a big part of that for me was realizing that pattern too. And, you know, for us now, like Rachel said, like we have a really good like alchemical process. Like we understand that there's a certain point in the argument now where we start realizing like, usually if we're going to get it, we've gotten it by now, we must need some separation. And the third stage of alchemy is separation, right? It's part of the alchemical process. And for me, the kind of challenging belief system I have is that, no, if we take space, like, no, like I want to figure this out now. But like Albert Einstein states, you can't solve a problem from the same level of thinking that created it. But it's the ultimate thirst trap. You know, you think like, no, I can make this better. Mm-hmm. And then it just starts getting worse and worse. And then you say something that you don't even think is bad, but then now it's 10 times worse. And you're like, oh God, what am I doing here? Right. So we found that, you know, when that happens, that we take some space, you know, literally like 20 feet of space. Like I'm in here, she's in the kitchen or whatever. You know, typically it'll be almost right away that I'll start seeing some of my stuff. And then my ego will be like, no, you're not owning up. No, you were in the right. Then I sit there for another 5 minutes or so. And it starts to be like, well, I don't even want to be in an argument right now. Like, why would I want to stay in this energy like that? And that then creates a whole like fucking awareness of like, why do I like this, you know, in a weird way. And then when I sit into it more, I start realizing like, okay, Like, even if there was an example, which has never happened, where I was objectively right and Rachel was objectively wrong, right? Because that's not how it works. But even if there was, right, I may be upset of how I reacted, right? I may be upset that I maybe kept her on a tight leash, right? Maybe she had a rough day and I was just like, fuck off, I don't want to hear it, right? But then after I realized, like, well, that's not the way I would want to be treated, right? Golden rule type stuff. And so we're really good at then coming out and one of us will first be like, sorry, I don't want to fight. And then literally as soon as one of us says it, okay, boom, we're back to like safety now. And then we can just talk about what happened. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, starting to realize that, you know, at the end of the day, that is the goal of relationships. You know, they're meant to get messy. And I really liked, I saw this thing where it was like, have the blowout fight, like have it, let it get messy, let it do its thing. And, you know, I really enjoy that because not only does it lead to amazing makeup sex, but also some of our biggest breakthroughs, like the mom one, those were happened through a lot of blowout fights, you know, never any physical anything, but like, you know, yelling sometimes, like, you know, very challenging stuff. And I think that when you're in the world of conscious living, holistic health, spirituality, there's a part of you that may feel guilty around that or like, oh my God, like this isn't supposed to be how it's supposed to be. That is completely false. Like, we are still human beings right now. We're not divine beings fully. Like, we are, right? We're divine embodied, but we're supposed to be messy, right? And we can't bypass those things and say, well, I'm an infinite being. Actually, this doesn't harm me at all. Like, that's just toxic AF. So for me, and part of the reason I'm grateful that I was raised in Boston, is because I've realized that even my mom and dad, even though I didn't necessarily approve of their argument style, especially getting into it and realizing I picked it up, you know, I'm grateful they had those blowouts because a lot of them led to a lot of really positive things in the scheme of things, you know? And so I started realizing, like, I think this is actually very healthy. And that has helped us too, realizing that when we get in the blowout, you know, my brain used to go like, oh my God, this is just retarded. Why are you even doing this? Right. Or whatever. And like, if it was supposed to be, then it wouldn't be this way. And I'm like, no, actually it's the exact opposite. This actually means it's meant to be, because if we can get in blowouts like that and still choose to come to each other and say sorry and lick our wounds together, that's a really good sign. Because if you can go through that amount of discomfort and still want to be with that person, now you know for sure. And now when we do get in an argument, it's no big deal. It's like, even if it's really frustrating in the back of my head, I'm like, I know we're going to move past it. It's fine. And I start thinking like, what big, huge idea is this going to bring about? You know, like what massive level of awareness and upgrade are we going to get from this? You know? And so that's been a huge part of it for me. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for where we're at today and, you know, how we continue to choose each other. And, you know, I feel like even recently, Ray, like the last 6 months, I feel like we've deepened a lot. Where I know for me, I'll state it from my angle, you know, like I have found this whole new attraction to you. Ever since you got into astrology, especially, I've seen this light click on in you that I think is hot as hell, you know? And like, literally, like you're gonna ask Rachel, like, you know, it's funny, we play these games, you know, where like, you know, if she wants something, you know, especially if like something's too high, she's like, can you reach that? I'm like, maybe, but I need a hug first. I need to grab your butt first, you know? And so like, we'll have this whole fun system, which I think is so essential. Or he paid for my...
Thanks, Ryan. I'm never going to be able to get anything off a shelf now without a butt grab. You just
interrupted that. You're welcome, bro.
We did it. We always did it as a love tax. It was like a kiss tax. Like, oh, could you pass me that? Yeah, sure. But I'm going to need a kiss first. Yeah. So I totally resonate.
Now you'll put everything up high, bro. You know, that's my gift from me to you, you know?
Yeah. It's a little more difficult in a trailer where everything's a little bit more reachable, but yeah.
I really love that, and I appreciate so much you talking about what conflict looks like. You know, something you touched on that was just, you nailed it, is there is kind of this notion in my ego, and as you're talking, I'm like, oh, thank God it's not just me. And that's the purpose of this series, right? Is to show people, like, you're not crazy, you're not alone. This is messy. We have screaming fights. We have fights, you know, and sometimes that is the only tape the ego can play in that, right? Mm-hmm. Is like, if blah, 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 then it wouldn't look like this. Or, you know, this is like, this isn't conscious. This isn't spiritual. Like, what's wrong with us? We shouldn't be together. And it runs that tape. And, you know, I just want listeners to know, I know you have something to add, like, conflict is healthy. When it becomes unhealthy is when we stay in it, when we don't grow from it, or the worst pattern of them all, and we spent 6 years in it, is when you ignore it and escape from it. Right? Like, you're just like, and our last guest we interviewed, which was actually Eric's life coach, he said something really beautiful. He said, like, most of the people on the planet have defined love as, we're just gonna not talk about each other's patterns and shit, and we're just gonna like agree to live this surface level happy life. Sometimes we get in arguments, but we're just like not gonna talk about that. I'm sorry, I love you, let's move on. And that's not love, right? And so I just thank you for showing people it's okay to have conflict. It's okay, really, on any spectrum of conflict, as long as we're returning to love. And that is the key thing. And that's the thing we talk about on this show, right? Is like, how do we return to love? Because that's what's important, not all of the stupid stuff that came from our egos, which isn't even us, because anything that's not from love isn't from us anyways. It's not real. And so recognizing that and giving ourselves that grace is so important.
Yeah. And it really speaks to the power of doing this work. It really is alchemy. We live in a society where people say, you know, you can't yell at each other. You can't say awful things to each other. Or even if it were to get physical, like, you can't do X, right? And because if you do X, it's a deal breaker and it's a toxic relationship and you have to leave it. When in reality, the only thing that is important is y'all's relationship, how you two interact, how you two find love again. And that can look like a lot of different things for a lot of different people. Some of our fights get to these really big blowout explosions, and that's because a lot of my pattern specifically is to repress things. And so the only way for things to come out is in this big, extravagant fashion, very Scorpio-like. I've had a lot of therapists throughout the years, and one that really stuck with me is that a relationship is not about the ruptures that we have in a relationship. It's about how we heal from the ruptures. Think of it like a wound. When it's infected, you have to reopen it and you have to address it for it to be able to heal. And that's how it is in relationship. When we can navigate those ruptures together, like you said, Ryan, in the back of our head, even in the heat of the moment, no matter how bad things seem like they are and what the stories of the ego is saying of like, oh, nope, this is too toxic. This is not okay. We're not going to survive this. This, like, I don't accept this in my life, whatever it may be. As long as we have that knowing and that soul contract in the back of our mind saying, I know we're going to get through this. It may look like an hour from now. It may be a day from now. It may be a week from now. But I know in my heart of hearts that we have committed to this partnership and we have committed to growth. And so we are going to allow each other to play out this pattern to its fullest extent so that it can get out. And then we can work with the pieces once they're out and about. The beautiful thing about what you all shared is that, you know, none of us really have it, quote unquote, figured out. We are not enlightened beings, right? The purpose of this podcast and the purpose of this series specifically is to show people that we all kind of have these puzzle pieces, and there isn't really a right way to relate, to consciously love. Each one of us has our own style, our own flavor. So take what resonates, leave what doesn't, and understand that each relationship is unique. Each, you know, union and trigger points are unique to you. You know, you designed it that way in your partnership. This beautiful yin yang twin flame example of, you know, Ryan, you've experienced this lack of freedom and this wound with your mother, and Rachel experiencing these wounds of abandonment, right? But then to see both of them together and to see how they perfectly fit and play out, in that your need for freedom, Ryan, pushes on Rachel's wound of abandonment. And so it's this beautiful opportunity to alchemize these deep core wounds. When we're not approaching this from a conscious way, it can seem like, oh no, this is just a toxic relationship, right? But if we flip the narrative and we understand that, no, this is actually healing, it becomes a perfect relationship. It's exactly what we need for enlightenment, for spiritual growth. And it takes time to get there. It takes time spent in relationship to understand these patterns. Because like you were saying, it took almost, what, to year 3, year 4 for these patterns to start really manifesting. And then, and at that time for you to experience them over and over again, to then bring conscious awareness to them. And so that's why it's so important to stay in relationship if that is your intention, because that's what it takes to be able to understand and then alchemize this stuff.
You know, if you run away or you decide to exit that, like, that pattern's just going to manifest in somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. That's the mm-hmm. ultimate projection of the mind and of the ego, is like, this person's the problem. And X behavior, I don't like that thing. Like, do I love that one of Eric's core shadows, and it's in his gene keys twice, is dishonesty? No. Why? Because my core most value is honesty. So it's giving me the opportunity to learn grace, which is one of my core gene keys. And so same thing with that, like, perfectly designed, you know, it will just keep manifesting. And at some point, and this ultimately is like conscious partnership, is taking responsibility for your own shit. Right. It's taking responsibility, mm-hmm. like you were talking about earlier, Rachel, of like, where am I contributing to this? Or better yet, where is this asking me to be more loving, to be more graceful, to be more empathetic, to be more patient, to be more kind, right? To love myself more, to stop expecting anything from this person because he's perfect as he is, even if I don't like it. And so I just love so much that beautiful perspective, you know, that whole, like, we say twin flames, but yin yang, twin flames, soulmates, you can call it whatever you want. Like, I think there is something to that, and there is a soul bond, which is a perfect segue into what I want to talk about next. And I'm super excited to hear from you too. What does the other side look like, right? Because I think we hear a lot about how challenging these types of relationships are. And I think you two would agree, like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. And I've done some really hard stuff in my life. Conscious relating with another person on a spiritual path committed to growth is the hardest thing I've ever done. And I will never, and we have never on this show, blur that or not be authentic about that. Like, this is, it's not easy, right? And it comes with great reward. And so we have to give space to that. So I'd love to hear from y'all what that looks like, right? Like, what are those highs? What maybe spiritual experiences have you had together? Or what do you feel from your perspective are the benefits of being in a conscious partnership?
One of the best parts about our relationship too, and I'll start with this, but it's not going to be my whole answer, is the fact that we've been able to go through that hard stuff together. We say to each other all the time, we're so powerful. Like, how many people can sit through all that pain and like have a 9-hour fight and like still stay in it till make it to the other side? And then we're like, you're badass. And we're like, you're badass. And we're like pumping each other up. And we're like, we're the fucking best. And then we like, literally, this is like me and Ryan, how we talk to each other. We're like, imagine the kid we'd have one day. It's going to be like the best thing in the world. We have to grace the world with our kid. And like, I feel like together we just like pump up each other's confidence, you know, just like how I said, Ryan's my mini celebrity. And then he'll say, Rachel's a berserker and Rachel's this. And I'm like, Ryan's that. And I feel like we're just each other's biggest hype people in the world. We're truly each other's best friends. Like, Ryan is the best friend I've ever had, ever. And I wish, like, I could say that I've had a more best friend of a girl than him, but like, no, truly, Ryan is the best friend I've ever had on so many levels. We call each other out. We call each other forward. Me and him, over the last 4 years, we've gone on a roller coaster of a ride, like, as we started our businesses. And I can say that we started businesses at the same time, which was so fun and so cool. The coolest part is we do the same things, but we do it in our own way. So we don't do everything together. We're not like starting all these businesses together, doing everything together. We tend to both like grow and evolve side by side with each other. I actually, at my first birth chart reading I ever had, this lady, Pam, who's this psychic for a bunch of people we know, said, yeah, you and Ryan are like two birds flying in the sky. And sometimes one bird flies higher than the other bird. And then the other bird flies higher. And then the other bird flies higher. But you guys are just like always growing. She said the cornerstone of our relationship was growth and evolution. And I find that to be so true in our relationship. We've just grown immensely. We have found secure attachment styles together immensely. I don't know. I feel like I could go on forever with how much fun we have. I don't even think you can describe the amount of love we have. Like, I just, sometimes we say, I don't want to say this because I feel bad. I don't want to say something that might trigger someone listening to this podcast of like, I want to find my person, but like, I truly feel lucky that I found my person. Me and him look at each other sometimes and we're just like, how freaking amazing and lucky are we? And to be honest, if I'm real with myself, yeah, it's luck, but it's also willing to go through the shit. So, you know, you too can have this. Just go through the shit.
To your point, Rachel, and I'd love to hear your perspective, Ryan, but I want to add something because you're talking about triggering people, which I would caveat is a blessing, right? But to those listening, this finds you when you're ready. All you need to do to be ready, like this isn't something in the future. It's literally just willingness. Like it's just a choice. And it's that simple. It's literally just a choice. Like, am I willing to do the work? Am I willing to look within? Am I willing to stop ignoring, escaping, insert blank, whatever that pattern looks like for you? And when you are willing to do that, I really truly believe that this enters your sphere, and not a moment early and not a moment late. And so if you're listening to this and you're like, I want a conscious partnership, or I want to find my person, or, you know, I keep dating and I feel like they're just not at that level, it's always a call to look within. It's always a call. Great. How about you just radically work on yourself and just like radically love yourself, because you're going to immediately manifest and attract the exact person that's needed, and then be willing to do that work.
It could be the person that you're with currently. There's this note in the collective that if you're partnership doesn't look like a conscious partnership, it means you have to go and find a conscious partnership.
Mm-hmm.
It's It's really important to note that you can shift from an unconscious partnership to a conscious partnership, and it starts by one person doing the work, and it will immediately shine a flashlight on the other person and call them forward. And if they are willing to take those steps and come forward, that is the birth of the conscious partnership. If they are not willing to own up to their experience and do that work, they will resonate out and somebody else will resonate in.
And Ryan, I'm going to pass it off to you for yours, but I want to add one more thing that we haven't caveated in this episode yet, that we're kind of trying to really radically shift in this space that I don't really hear a lot of people do. Actually, I haven't heard anyone doing, not saying it doesn't exist, but I haven't come across it, is conscious relating is not just romantic. You can be in a conscious partnership with your friends, your family, yourself, source, God, creator, whatever you call the divine. Like, we really want to shift this notion that like this isn't just romantic, right? Like, life is not defined by the physical romantic aspect. If you don't have a romantic partner right now, start a conscious partnership with your best friend, with your family, with someone else around you, so that you can do this work and this type of engagement with someone. There doesn't have to be a romantic sexual relationship for that to happen. And so it's releasing that attachment of, why do we feel like we need it to be romantic in order for it to be quote unquote a conscious partnership? So take all of that, you know, whatever resonates, whatever doesn't. But Ryan, I'd love to hear your perspective on what the highs and the positives and some of those experiences you've had being in this partnership with Rachel.
Yeah, this is a great question. And I've been thinking about what I was going to say. And I got a couple of things I was going to say on the last point, right? The thing we talked about with the arguments and things like that. It takes pressure to make diamonds. And at the same time, the analogy that came to me is you got to boil water to cook rice or pasta in it, right? It doesn't work at lukewarm. So sometimes you got to let that shit really blow up. And at the same time, right, if you don't know what to do with that boiling water and you decide to try to drink it, you're going to get fucked up, right? If you don't know what to do with pressure, you might smash your arm or something, right? So I'm not saying that these things are objectively safe, et cetera, right? There's a saying called playing with fire, right? But again, at the end of the day, we all know that if you're a fire spinner, you can learn how to play with fire and do it well. And so I think a big process of understanding how to be in a conscious relationship is that when challenges arise, not if, but when, how are we going to handle them? And how can we make sure that we're making diamonds with our pressure and cooking rice or pasta with our boiling water and not just throwing it around and burning ourselves and other people and the dog and whoever else?
Not like, Pierre.
Yeah, not Pierre. God, no, you know.
Never.
That dude's loyalty.
Pierre is Rachel and Ryan's dog.
Yeah. He's adorable. He's got his own Instagram, at Pierre the French Bulldog. I think underscore, babe. Is it underscore?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Shouting him out. He's a celebrity. We call him the Brad Pitt of Frenchies. He's ridiculously adorable. But anyway, I digress. You know, I'll be completely honest. I would not be where I am today 100% without Rachel. I would not have the business I have today. I mean, fuck, she came up with the name Highly Optimized, right? I'll give her credit where credit is due. We were sitting in a Stop and Shop parking lot, and I was going through a challenge with the job I was at the dispensary. I was getting really triggered. They were, you know, doing a lot of really dumb shit. And so I wanted to get out of there. And I remember we, you know, got out of work on a Friday night. She was coming over to my place and we were sitting in the parking lot. And I was like, I just want to like make this business. And I wanted to do something with self-development and cannabis, but I can't figure out what it is. And, you know, we went through a little while. We were probably sitting there for like 45 minutes. And she was like, what about highly optimized? And I was like, oh, I love that. So again, like not only did she come up with a name, but she has pushed me. I mean, things like getting on Aubrey Marcus, things like hanging out with Paul Check, I'm fucking terrified of that shit, right? There was a lot of fear that came up, a lot of imposter syndrome, et cetera. And Rachel was the one that reminded me, like, if this is what's coming in, then you deserve it right now. Not 10 years from now, not a minute from now, right now. Like, get yourself into that mindset where you realize that you're a bad motherfucker and that you are on that level and that you can go do this. And she has been my number one source of positivity, inspiration, and really courage to go do these things. And she still is, you know, and I do the same thing for her as well. You know, when she will call me and be like, how do you get on podcasts, right? And I'll, when I was in Austin, we had a conversation on the phone when I was driving back from Alex Zek's podcast. And I saw her clearly stuck in a story because I know what it's like. I've been stuck in mine. And so she was like, well, I'm just not as good at you at connecting. And I'm like, that's just a story, Ray. Like, you are absolutely fucking amazing at connecting. When you wanted me, you made sure you fucking got me. Like, no questions asked, right? Like, you got me. So you have this ability in you. And so we do that to each other all the time. And we pump each other up, you know, and we're each other's biggest fans. And I think that's one of the biggest things because as a man, when you have a amazing woman by your side, there's nothing you can't do. And I imagine it's the exact same for women. I'm just not a woman, so I won't try to speak from women's point of view. But, you know, I imagine it's very similar. This conscious partnership, sacred union thing is really about two human beings loving each other enough to not only trigger each other into enlightenment, but also realize oneness between the two, right? And a big part of that is owning up to your mission, starting to unlock purpose, starting to unlock true fulfillment. I mean, think about all the amazing people we get to meet together, Ray, like over the last 7 years. I mean, you guys are two of those people, Aaron and Selena. I mean, literally my idols that I've looked up to for years, Aubrey, Paul, Josh Trent, all these people, Luke Story, that I now are personal friends with. And a big part of that has been Rachel saying, I believe in you. You can do this. Keep going. Keep going. Calling me a mini celebrity since day one. I didn't see any of this shit, you know? And for everyone listening, what I want all of you to know is that you all have unique magic inside of you, right? Stuff that I'll never have and I have stuff you'll never have, right? We're all unique in perfect divine ways. But sometimes, right, it takes pressure to have those diamonds be made. And I know in our relationship, we have provided that pressure for one another to allow the true diamonds within us to come out. And the best part of that is not only do we get to actualize, right, self-actualize and reach self-realization and get to have this beautiful life, but just like you guys do for other people, you give them inspiration, right? Because just like we're talking about on the show, everything we've talked about for everyone listening, like Amara said a little while ago, is extremely natural. Right? There's nothing bad about fighting. There's nothing bad about these things unless you just stay in a fucking loop and you're not going anywhere. Right? But, you know, again, it's kind of like going to the gym. You know, you got to go to the gym almost every day, no matter how long you've gone. I've been going to the gym for 12 years, 15 years, something like that. If I stopped tomorrow, eventually I would get fat and sick and unhealthy. So again, you got to keep that up. But again, you don't just want to be doing the same things every day because you're not going to grow. You got to push it a little more. Do one more pull-up. Do one more push-up, right? And if you stay in that perfect zone, right, of not pushing your comfort zone too far, right, but also pushing it a little bit, you will naturally expand and expand. And when you do that, you will become a lighthouse that lights up the world around you. And when you're in a relationship like that, you will inspire other people to either keep going in their own relationship. Or maybe they're starting to realize like, fuck, man, I really am. And be careful of the ego trap here because this can happen. Yeah, I am leveling up and my partner isn't, right? You got to make sure that's accurate first because your ego will definitely tell you that. But again, if you are clearly seeing examples, right? To give a very big example of this, right? Say that you are, you know, addicted to something, alcohol, right? And so is your partner. And you get clean and your partner's just not. And they constantly keep telling you like, why are you even doing this stupid sobriety thing, you know? And you start seeing a pattern like that emerge. Yeah, that may be a sign of like, okay, maybe this person's not right for me. Maybe not forever, but maybe I need to separate and show them like, this is who I am now. Like, I don't care what it means, but this is true to me. And maybe that will trigger them, right? And they'll come back and be like, oh my God, you fucking showed me too, right? At the same time, maybe they won't. And that's okay too. But as long as we understand what's really happening here, that we are all one, we're living out an illusion of separation, and we use love, the governing source and body of the universe, to be able to alchemize all these distortions within the way of seeing ourselves as one being, right? As all God experiencing itself through infinite different, you know, calculations and probabilities. you know, until we're able to see each other like that, we're always going to get stuck in the ego. But once we start to see over the ego and start seeing like, oh, actually, the fighting's good. All these things are good. And what they lead to, that for me is the crux of all the amazingness that is a conscious relationship. I mean, it's literally, I don't know who I would be if Rachel hadn't walked in my life 7 years ago. I have no idea, but I can tell you this, if it weren't for her, I would not have completed any of the dreams that I've completed, and I would not be the man I am today. 100,000% objective, 100%.
100,000, Rachel, 100,000.
Yeah, I want to add something that as you were talking, because you're talking about the good parts of conscious partnerships, just like Eric was saying, we tend to match each other's wounds, like we're puzzle pieces for wounds. I've also found me and Ryan are puzzle pieces for our gifts. So like the things that I'm gifted in, like I can be really focused and hardworking and blah, blah, blah. My gifts have slowly merged over to Ryan and vice versa. Ryan's gifts are social, like out and about, like connecting with all these different people. When me and Ryan first started dating, he was this airy fairy guy who like would just like wander around the dispensary and I'm like working my ass off, like just like balls to the wall, reaching goals. And so when we first started our businesses, we kind of switched. I actually started leaning more into my feminine and tapping more into my intuition, relaxing. And he started taking that responsibility and like working really hard. And it's like our polarity shifted, but it's almost because we modeled it for each other that we were able to understand how to shift into that energy. Also, like Ryan now is a person who's focused, like working all day. And I'm a person who used to not have that many girlfriends and like was very like had a small social circle, had a lot of social anxiety. And now I have friends all over the country. I'm like so social. People ask me to hang out and I'm like, don't they know I'm busy and I don't have time? Whereas old me would like be so excited that someone was texting me. And it just goes to show that like I've been able to like not take this energy from Ryan, but like understand it, absorb it, embody it. And so these things that we once, I guess, quote unquote, lacked or were not our strong suits, but were each other's strong suits, we've been able to now like share with each other, which creates more power between each other.
As you were talking, I was seeing the exact same. I've caught the word that we couldn't figure out in our solo episode, Rachel, the equalizer. I was seeing those same meters of like every skill or every energy, right? Everything's just energy, and how a conscious partnership is like fine tuning you to be in balance. And something when we formed our conscious partnership on our 7 year anniversary with a ceremony, we got on our ring fingers, you know, we had wedding rings for many years, but we got yin and yang, half and half, but we got them with no color. And in our ceremony, we shared with everybody that that was intentional because it was about balance. And this ties as well into what you were talking about with Ryan, with oneness and like unity consciousness, is I really do believe like, well, number one, conscious partnership is the future. Like we're all going to be in a conscious partnership at some point. So even if you're not currently like this is where we're headed, right? The great awakening, people are waking up and we're heading to oneness, you know, unity consciousness, love, whatever you want to call it. And that right there is what conscious partnership does, is it really is just like this. I just keep seeing that, that equalizer of like playing on each other's strengths and encouraging that in the other. And, you know, I'm sure it's way beyond our limited understanding as humans, right? I would love to hear like Aaron Abke's perspective on this, but like spiritually speaking, how when you possess an energy or we could even go genetics, right? Gene keys, how that transfers to your partner and or introduces it, encourages it, etc. And so I love that that's what you two chose to focus on. Like you could have focused on so many different things, you know, and it's just a really beautiful testament. And we see that in our partnership a lot, like over the 8 years, just how many lifetimes we've lived and how different we are and how much, you know, like for me, I have always had a very strong like voice and throat chakra and been able to like speak my truth, not healthily, but like that was always present in me. And now 8 years later, being around that and encouraging him, like speak your truth and stand up for yourself and like, you know, be in that, like I'm watching this man's throat chakra just explode open and how clearly he's able to communicate. And, you know, there's so many examples. I don't know why that's just like the one that came to me.
It's just beautiful. Thank you for sharing your story and sharing what your journey has been, because when we go into conscious partnership and we start to do this merging, it is this like, okay, let's heal each other's wounds and let's bring out the best in each other and let's support each other. And if you don't know how to do something, let me model it for you so then you can accept that into your sphere. We are quite literally in conscious partnership learning to merge, not only on an energetic level or a mental level, but on a physical level too. Like the sexual and physical connection becomes much deeper and much more meaningful. And there's this transference of energy through that exchange that creates this depth of vulnerability and connection that's unlike any other partnership. And like you said, Ryan, you know, unequivocally, I would not be the man that I am today if it wasn't for my partner constantly putting the pressure on, constantly saying, no, I will not allow you to settle and compromise yourself. I will not allow you to be mediocre. Both of those are shadows in my gene keys. And to really push me to be the highest version of myself and vice versa, not allowing this person to live in her shadows and to embody grace and to really illuminate the blind spots that we tend to have in our own spiritual growth. So thank you so much for sharing that.
I have one more question I want to ask you. And about, we actually usually ask this in the beginning and I just was so excited to hear your story. Even though I'd heard it, you told way more. And so thank you. Like there were pieces I didn't know about. I would like to know as a unit, what does loving consciously look like in your partnership? What does that tangibly look like? Like what is maybe, what is your conscious partnership? Do you have any tenets or any values or boundaries, however you want to take it?
Ryan, you get to go first this time. I'm going to let you go first.
I'll go first. And I, you know, in classic Ryan fashion, I want to say something about what you guys were just talking about too, because it just popped in as an idea. I really feel like what we're talking about here is not only shadow work, right? We've talked about that, you know, triggering each other into enlightenment, but also bringing out the golden shadow, you know, which are the most divine aspects of you that are also hidden within the shadow. So a lot of people think shadow work is just, you know, challenging stuff. Oh God, there's a thing for my parents, et cetera. But, you know, I'll give you a really good example. So when I used to work at the dispensary, I would go home every night and I would watch Aubrey Marcus and I would dream about the day of going to like a book signing where I got to like shake his hand or something like that, right? And everyone that came into the dispensary told me like, you should start a podcast. You should start a podcast. And I was like, no, no, everyone's doing one. No, it'd be stupid to do it. But I knew deep down, I really wanted to fucking do it. And every time I would watch Aubrey or Paul, there would be a part of me that got triggered. And I never really knew why. You know, I would feel this like impending doom when I would listen to podcasts and I would see people living out their Dharma. I wouldn't describe it that way at that point, but that's really what it was. And so, you know, Rachel really pushed me like, start this podcast. And in starting that, not only did I find something I fucking loved, but I found something that was part of me. I was like, holy shit, I meant to do this, right? And so again, that's a perfect example of how a conscious relationship can bring about the most divine parts of you that are also lying within your shadow. You know, there's not just challenging stuff you find there and icky stuff, right? None of it's icky, right? But it can seem icky when you're in like a nice state and you're like, think about shadow work. You're like, oh, no. But actually the golden shadow stuff is all intertwined into there. You know, it's very similar to how pain can be pleasure, pleasure can be pain. These barriers that we think we have are completely blended, you know, a lot of the time. And, you know, we see that in many different areas of life. So I wanted to illustrate that and articulate that. You know, I think when it comes to tenets and things like that, you know, what immediately comes to mind is the idea that we have a agreement, right, that we were talking about before, that we're going to understand that when we're in an argument, it's not one person or the other, it's both of us. Again, even if there was a random example where Rachel or I were objectively right in our argument, which doesn't even exist, we know that we're not going to disempower the other person by just sticking on our high horse and being like, see, you did this to me, you know, et cetera. Like part of our relationship is if one of us stops growing, right? Like we're going to have a conversation. And if one of us continues to not grow, like it's going to be the end of our relationship, you know, because for both of us, that is our worst nightmare, you know? And again, like we didn't know this when we got into it, you know, for anyone listening, you might be thinking like, oh my God, there's so much stuff I need to think about. Nah, I didn't think about any of this shit, guys, right? This stuff naturally comes out. Like you guys perfectly stated a little while ago, there's nothing you need to do here, right? It's less about doing and more about being and just noticing and becoming aware and getting curious like a child is, you know? And so these are things that now we are aware are tenets in our relationship. But it wasn't like the first day we met, we wrote these down or anything like that, right? They came out as we continued to get to know ourselves through knowing each other. And so one of the other tenets is being able to be free, you know? And this isn't just with like me at, you know, parties making volcano bags for people and whatnot. This is like, you know, overall, you know, we have a tenet of like, we are running our own businesses. And this is like a burn the ships type thing. Like, we're not going to be part of the system. We're not going to do things the way other people are doing it. We don't want to get married with a governmental contract, right? Like, we don't want necessarily to have kids when we're young, right? Like, there's almost everything in our relationship is very different than the mainstream model suggests. We don't want the nice house with the white picket fence and all of that. Like, we want a life that's very different than that. Not that those things are bad, they're just not what fires us up and gets us excited. And so I think one of the other things is that we must be free. We must be autonomous. We must be sovereign. You know, even though we're together, we are separate individuals, you know? And one of the things that we've learned over time, especially reading books like The Erotic Mind, is that, you know, longing is a big part of eroticness, you know? And so Rachel and I just got back from 2 weeks of separate traveling. She went down to Virginia for a week where I was alone here, hanging out with the dog and just chilling. And, you know, then she gets back. She got back Tuesday night around 8:30, and I had to be in bed by 9 to wake up at 5 for my flight at 7:30 on Wednesday to go to Austin. So like, you know, we wanted to have sex and we were like, oh God, we can't, you know, like I'm going to have no sleep and things like that. So, you know, again, that built up a lot of really awesome tension, you know, realizing that we get to still be our own human beings, right? We have full faith and trust in one another. You know, we just choose to live in a reality where I know Rachel would never cheat on me or do anything. She knows I would never do that. Like, that is who we are to the fucking core. And so it's very important that even though we have this relationship, that we don't lose ourselves to the relationship, you know? And that's another one that we've really been able to do in a very positive way. And again, this wasn't some master plan. It's just, you know, now we can talk about them and actually understand like what these core tenets of our relationship that I believe have created the success that relationship has been, have been, you know? So that's what I would say. Mm-hmm. Curious what you'll say, Ray.
Well, I was, as you were talking, I will agree with what you just, everything you said, I agree with 10,000 times over. But when you said what we were just talking about, I feel like the fact that we have so much openness in our relationship, everything is on the table. We talk about everything. We talk about other people we find attractive. We talk about like the fact that if something, you know, we wanted to explore something, we'll have a conversation about it. We literally, everything is on the table and it provides so much safety. Sometimes it can be scary to put it all on the table because you don't know what's going to happen. But like, we've committed to doing it and we have done it. And it's one of the things that I love most about us. And it creates just so much freaking love and safety. So I'd say openness is a big part. And then another thing we used to do, which we still do just in a different capacity, when me and him used to work at the dispensary, we'd go out to dinner every Friday night to Port 305. It was this restaurant in Quincy on the pier where all these boats are. And we'd get food and we would literally sit there and talk about how we were going to take over the world for the first like 3 or 4 years of our relationship. And we'd be like, yeah, we're going to take over the world. And we thought at the time we were going to build like a giant cannabis business together or something. Now we've realized over the last 3 years, oh, we're taking over the world in a different way. Like, you're doing your cannabis thing, I'm doing my astrology thing, but we're still like taking over the world. So even though we don't have dinners like that where we get together and talk about how we're taking over the world every day, we're like actively already doing it and now integrating it, I feel like. Don't worry, if you're listening to this, we're not really taking over the world. We're not dictators.
What I'm hearing in my mind is like, you are taking over. We are taking over the world. Those of us, and let's just be honest, and you know, not from an ego perspective, this is just like facts, right? Like, the percentage of people doing this work and being conscious and on this path is very slim. And then the percentage of those people doing it in a partnership is even slimmer. And so I would say we are energetically taking over the world with love. Like, not to be cheesy, you know, but truly, like, we are that power of the love that comes from conscious growth and conscious partnership. I think Aaron talks about this a lot. Like, infinitely stronger than like the power of, you know, hate and greed and corruption and ego. And so, not to get all sappy on you there, but I do feel like we're taking over the world, you know? And did you have something else you wanted to say, Rachel, before I respond to your other point?
Let me think. Was there anything else? I think Ryan pretty much hit the nail on the head. Those were the two things that just really stand out to me. The openness, the fact that we share everything with each other, and the fact that we dream really freaking big together.
To your first point, as you were saying it, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so us. And trigger warning, right? Like this may rub up against, you know, some people's beliefs, and that's okay, right? That's good. This is how we grow. We're all unique. All perspectives are valid. I see a lot in relationships, like, I don't want to give this example, but I have to give one. Like, some people will be like, oh, I would like never talk about my menstrual cycle with my partner, right? It's just one example that's coming up. Or, oh, we would like never go to the bathroom in front of each other. And people may have preferences, that's fine. But at the end of the day, when you are in any relationship in life, with someone, but especially a conscious one, like, it's going to get messy, you know, like you're going to get sick. You're going to get hurt, right? Like I'm nursing a foot wound right now. And this man's literally been pulling up my pants and helping me get into the shower. Pregnancy loss was another thing we experienced. Like, you're going to experience life, and that willingness to be open and be open about everything, from like your bowel movements to your menstrual cycles to whatever it is that's going on in your life. Like, we do parasite cleanse together. Like, those aren't pretty, right? Like, it's just going to be messy. And I think when we can remove that shame and that, like, there's this narrative, like, you don't talk to your partner about X, Y, and Z, right? Or you don't go to the bathroom, or you don't do this. Or these are silly examples, but being open, same as you, we talk about everything. There's nothing we won't talk about. We also, I mean, you know, we've got a very long ethical non-monogamy journey, and just being open in that way has afforded us so much more. What is the word I'm looking for? Like the levels and the depths that we're able to go because we're willing to be vulnerable, right? It's vulnerability and intimacy. And so I would really encourage people, if you're listening and any part of this is like rubbing up a little bit, dig into that, get curious, like Ryan said, like a child, because that level of openness on the other side of that fear or that uncomfortability or that shame, whatever it may be, like there's literally nothing on the planet I would not say to this person. And that freedom, like you were talking about freedom, right? Bring it full circle here to wrap us up. Like, that freedom is unmatched. And the other thing you talked about, both of you kind of touched on, is the word I was hearing is commitment, which is a huge part of our partnership. And we've actually got an episode coming up where we're going to talk about commitment and devotion. And in the gene keys, there's a gene key where the gift is commitment, and the city, you know, the highest expression is devotion. And we've been exploring this a lot lately, and I know you two can relate, and I think anyone in any type of conscious partnership can relate. Like, at its core, it's that commitment to yourself, commitment to personal growth, commitment to your partner. Like, no matter what shadow comes up, no matter what fight happens, no matter what you say to me, even if it's I'm attracted to this person, or I want to go do this thing that like is completely, you know, against your personal preference, like the commitment to that person, to yourself, and ultimately, again, I'm just full of all the cheesy cliches today, the commitment to love, coming back to love, choosing love. I think that is the best advice. And you guys touched on that so beautifully in this episode, is like just being committed to that love, being committed to each other, and being committed to the work.
Yeah, those are fundamental aspects of conscious partnership. So thank you very much for sharing that. The openness and the willingness to go deep is so important, because something that I've learned from living from the shadow of dishonesty and holding things from my partner is that whatever I am not willing to share with her is something that is unhealed within myself. There's this narrative that the ego plays about how I'm unsafe, right? I don't feel safe, so I can't share this thing. And then it flips it and it says, I feel unsafe in this partnership, and it's because of my partner. When in reality, it's our responsibility to do the work and be willing to have the courage to be open and honest about all of the things that we're feeling, thinking, experiencing. And the minute that we move it out of the shadow and into the light by sharing it with our partner, it immediately heals and alchemizes that wound. And so it's so important to be able to have this commitment to honesty and open communication, because what you're really committing to, you know, below that layer of honesty is a commitment to safety. You're committing to this container where everything and anything can be spoken. You are free. You are safe here, right? And that commitment is that foundation of a relationship. And it's what we build everything off of. And if there's a crack in that foundation, it spreads up into the building and will weaken all of the structural elements that are there.
You would relate this to architecture.
Yes, I would. And
it's always like buildings and design.
My brother's an architect, so I'm used to it.
Like... Yeah, yeah. Hey, I throw dance in there from time to time. But also, you know, that commitment to the container, like you were saying, Amaris, develops devotion. And devotion is that expression of the commitment and how you're able to manifest that in the relationship. The minute, Rachel, you gave Ryan that freedom, it was like this, ah, yes, I'm safe. Great, now let me just be with you all the time, you know? And it's so interesting that what we resist is actually what we need to heal. And the minute that we're willing to look into that, the face of that with our partner, and stop making them the enemy and understand that we are a team here. Mm-hmm. And I trust you with my soul. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my heart. And I'm going to open myself up. It one allows and encourages the other person to do that. But two, you get to reach a much deeper layer. And what you guys were saying about taking over the world, and you, Amaris, about taking over the world with love, is that it really does radiate out into the collective. It shows other people that there's another way to relate. And that's what's so important about doing the work and being open about doing the work, is that we can show other people, hey, there's another way to do that. You know, you recently got injured with your foot. I've had the opportunity to carry you around, and you shared with me recently, you know, people are staring at us. People are looking at me funny. And I said, let them stare. Let them look, because this is a model of love and devotion. Of course, I'm going to carry you to the vista point so you can see, because you can't walk. Let us show and model for other people what love really is and what it can be.
Yeah. I want to make sure and save some space if you two have anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about you, about your partnership, or anything we've talked about today before we close it out.
I mean, I'll say, because this immediately popped in, you know, so long as you are not in a dangerous situation, and so long as you are resonating with the aspects of this conversation when we're talking about, you know, is one person just completely stagnant, not growing, right? It's been like that for a while, et cetera. If it's not like that, my advice is just keep going. It's kind of like they say with business, that some of the most successful people are not the smartest people, right? Like, they don't have the highest IQ, put it that way. Because it's almost a Goldilocks zone where if you're too smart, you start actually thinking about like, well, all these things could happen and blah, 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 right? Whereas the people with maybe a little bit lower IQ, they just keep going forward, right? They don't even have any other awareness that anything could not work. They're just forward, right? And our mentor, Mark England, says that a lot. Like, maybe I'm silly, but I just keep going no matter what happens. Just keep going. Because like you guys said before, it's just going to play out with the next person. You know, that's all it's going to do. So if you can tell you really love the person you're with, they really love you, and maybe you're just feeling stagnant, or maybe you're feeling like maybe there's things that both of you aren't owning up to. Whoever you are listening to this show, if you're not listening to this with your partner right now, well, the responsibility is on you now. Now that you know, right, you have the opportunity to do that pattern interrupt, to go up to your partner and say, hey, you know what? I've been realizing lately I've been distant, and you know, maybe you're thinking it's you, maybe you're not, whatever, but I want to own up and tell you a little bit more about what's going on in my internal world, and watch how that provides the perfect permission slip for them to go, yeah, I'm so glad you said that, me too, right? And all of a sudden, boom, now you're starting your conscious relationship. It can be that easy, you know? So my closing words would be, again, so long as you're not in a dangerous situation, just keep going. Trigger each other into enlightenment for the third time.
I love that you said just keep going. Eric's 17-year-old brother for Christmas, and it was at like such a pivotal point. We don't celebrate holidays, but we celebrated with his family for the first time with my in-laws in like 7 years. I digress. His little brother drew us this like beautiful, it's like roses and it's a colored picture, and it says just keep going on it. And it came at like such a pivotal point in our partnership, right when we were about to meet so many of our new conscious couple friends, but we didn't have any at that point. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. And so I hope listening to this, before I pass it off to you, Rachel, if you're listening to this, I just want you to know, like, I couldn't agree more with Ryan. Like, just keep going. It's not always going to be this hard, right? And it doesn't have to be hard. That's the story we're telling ourselves. You know, we've had experiences lately. This is a new one. I don't know if y'all can relate to this, where now when we start getting in like ego fights and arguments, like we just kind of start laughing sometimes and we don't want to do it. We're like, no, like our egos are embarrassed. And then we're just like, okay, well, we're laughing. I guess that's that. And, like, I love you. And we go back about our day, but it won't always be this hard. So yes, just keep going. I love that. What about you, Rachel?
I love that example you guys just gave where you guys will start laughing. We can definitely relate with that. Also, I just want to say there's so many things that Eric, you said, and Amaris, you guys both said things that were just, I don't remember them, what they were now, but I was like, wow, that's true. A very articulated he said, and I wish I could remember them so I can tell you, but I have to share that first. Second, one final thing I want to leave with that I don't even think we mentioned really in this episode yet, but have fun in your relationship and play. And it doesn't always have to be so serious. It's not always about doing the work. I think one of the things I love most about Ryan and I's relationship is how silly we both are and how we have dance parties every day and like at the flash of a hat. Yeah, we make weird faces at each other. And like, if you look at each other's phones, if one of us calls one another, it's a close-up of each other's face. So if Ryan calls me, it's a close-up of Ryan's face on my phone, making him this really weird face. And it's just hilarious. It makes you want to laugh when you look at it. It's the same on his phone. It's a close-up of my face. And it's just, and we'll sing songs for our dog and we'll be weird and we'll be silly. And we're
Bring that up. I'm so glad you brought that up. No, I was going to respond to you. I've been sitting here holding it with a cheese piece because we all like connected on that. Like that's our silliness. We have so many songs for our dog. We tried to count them the other day to send them to y'all and we couldn't even, we lost count at like 7 or 8 of them.
Yeah, well, I think that's like vital, right? Like you have to have that fun and silliness between your partner. And I think that's part of like the evolution. Like I think it's just as much as part of forming that consciousness, like consciously be silly, consciously pull the stick out of each other's ass, like consciously, you know what I'm saying? Like if you notice someone's being a little tight one day, like do some weird stuff. Like I'll go into Ryan's office and this might be TMI, but whatever, we're here.
Do it.
We call his pee, his private parts. I have a name for it. It's Ronald. And I'll like just come into his office and I'll be like, oh, Ronald. And we'll just like say things like that to each other. You know what I'm saying? And it's literally not because I'm like, yeah, let's go and go to the bedroom. It's just because it's so fun to do things like that to each other throughout the day. And yeah, that's what I wanted to add.
It does lead to that sometimes, though. I mean, it's a great teaser before an episode, you know? For anyone who's wondering how I get so much energy throughout the day, now you know my secret weapon, you know? It's Rachel.
This is such a beautiful closure. These were two beautiful pieces of advice, and they're so aligned with who you are as people, which I'm sure listeners are getting a little bit of a view. I, again, want to plug your individual episodes. Loving Cannabis Consciously was one of our highest performing episodes. It's also one of our older ones. So don't worry, Rachel, you'll come for him. But and astrology magic, and you know, you both have podcasts and all the things, but thank you for bringing two things. You know, Ryan, you talked about perseverance. Just keep going. Like, just like Nemo, like just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. I know you love Nemo, Rachel. And Rachel, thank you. You're right. We didn't mention it. Like, I don't know how it missed us till the end. I'm so glad it made it in here. Have fun. Like, this is it's just not that serious. And sometimes it's serious, but it just doesn't have to be, you know, like we are the biggest freaking weirdos ever, like singing in public and just all the different things we do, you know, with our dogs. And this is like my best friend in the entire universe right here, like unmatched. I could literally live on a planet alone with him for the rest of my life and be so content. And so cultivate that, like that you can do the shadow work anytime. You can do the seriousness anytime. You can do the growth anytime. Like it's never going to be done. That's the spoiler alert, right? And it really all comes back to you. So in your partnership, like cultivate that fun, cultivate that commitment and grow on that.
Yeah, it's a balance. It really is. And whenever we get into periods where it's too much on the shadow work and too much on the reflection, it can feel like a job and less of a relationship. And it's a clear indication of like, hey, maybe we need to bring some play back in. Let's be silly.
You're always like, we need a date night.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's bring out the old Nintendo 64 and play some Smash Brothers or, you know, whatever it may be.
Plant medicine. Whatever works for you.
You know, yeah. And just reintroducing that, because it is, like everything else in life, this equalizer, this balance, and you'll find what works for you. And some people do a lot of shadow work and a lot of healing and alchemization and a little bit of play, and that works for them. Some people need a lot of play and a lot of fun and a lot of silliness and connection to counterbalance the depth of the shadow work that they're doing. And so find what works for you. There is no right answer. And if you're just starting out in a conscious partnership or you're looking to begin conscious relating, it's okay to not know what you're doing. It's okay to kind of fake it till you make it and mirror what other people are doing to see, okay, is this working for me? Are there nuggets that I can pull? Because not everybody's methods are going to work for you. And that's okay. It's just trying on different clothes to see what your style is, and you'll grow into that. And once you do, you'll be able to finally like shine your authentic spark and relationship and figure that out for yourself. And then you'll be able to model that for other people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And of course, always choose love. Right? We're all about the love here. Ryan and Rachel, thank you so much for being here. I love you both as humans. I love your partnership. I love everything that you shared today. And listeners, connect with Ryan and Rachel. Check out their solo episodes. Check out they both have a podcast, Astrology Magic, and this one time on psychedelics, and all of the other offerings, the Conscious Cannabis Collective and birth chart readings. They're just really two really authentic and amazing people. And, you know, like we've said on the show, there's just an energy present when you're doing the work and you're living your authentic truth, and y'all have it. So thank you for bringing that on today to share with the world.
Thank you guys so much.
We love you.
Yeah.